boy, don't cry. Please don't cry.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern podcast. Bayern Munich are off to a flying start to the new season, with two big wins under their belt in which a mix of six players have combined for a whopping 11 goals. Julian Nagelsmann has already proven that he's well prepared for life without Robert Lewandowski. Well, I'm Benjamin Scott. I'm here to talk about Bayern's red-hot start to the season, the new-look squad, and discuss a handful of standout performers with my friends Tim Richards.
Hello there.
And Sebastian Zimmermann.
Hi.
Well, like I just said, guys, Bayern Munich have started off the season in a pretty phenomenal fashion between a 5-3 win in the Super Cup against RB Leipzig to their 6-1 smashing of Frankfurt in the Bundesliga opener. I think that Bayern have really kind of taken this season by the scruff of the neck and really got into it, maybe surprised some of us with actually how well that they've looked. And so today we're just going to kind of talk about those two games, talk about the implications that those wins have had, because those have been against some pretty good teams in RB Leipzig and in Frankfurt. And I want to start by talking about the formation that we saw heading into both of those, because we did talk a lot about that heading into the new season. You know, how are Bayern going to line up? Is Nagelsmann going to go to the back four, stick with the back three? And in both games so far, we've seen Bayern line up in what I called the 4-triple-2, where there's two defensive midfielders, you're kind of hybrid winger, attacking mids, and then two forwards. And I have to ask, Sebastian, I'll come to you first. Based on what we've seen in these past two games, do you think that this is clearly the best way forward for Bayern Munich, especially, with the squad that Nagelsmann has at his disposal?
I would say so, yes. I mean, it has been looking so good that it's really hard to argue for anything else at this point. I don't think the other formations have looked as good ever as this formation has looked in the last two games. So I guess this already tells you a lot. Of course, I would always argue for having a backup plan, having a different formation you can play, and so on. But I think when we are talking about what is going to be our default, what's going to be what we are normally going to do, I think there is no way around this being the right thing to do at this point. I mean, we had our doubts. We had our doubts in the beginning, I think. At least I had. One thing is, this is not somehow magically better defensively than what we had last year. So in terms of the system hasn't done anything really that makes this more defensively stable than what we have seen last season, basically, right? Because the only thing you change is you kind of take away one of the center backs, and that really doesn't do much, because we still have those two guys in the middle, and they are kind of very much doing the same job that they used to do. So this is not really helping fixing what we didn't like last year. Last season, I would rather say, I think. So then we would, of course, have to talk about why it's working now. I guess this is one of the questions we need to talk about. And I think a lot of that has to do with discipline, with how people have interpreted those positions, and with Sabitzer doing a surprisingly good job there. Because also, there's not really anything in the system, really, that says, okay, now, obviously, Sabitzer is going to do better in this system. No, not at all, I think. Because, yeah, there's not a real big difference between the position he played last season when he played and the position he has been playing now. But offensively, this is very, very good, better than I expected. And I don't think you can very well argue for anything else, because what has been working so well about this is that we have four guys there who can change positions a lot, who are not playing as... they're not playing the same thing all the time. They're not doing the same things for the whole time, right? It's like if you start them as wingers, one or two of them are going to stick to the sideline for a long time, basically. And this is not happening now. And I think this works very well with what Nagelsmann wants to do. Nagelsmann is someone who likes to press and someone who likes to really act quickly once you get the ball. And I think this is perfect for that. If you're playing with people sticking to the sidelines, this is just not going to be as fluent. It's not going to be as quick. And I think so. This is why this works so well. And of course, these players have shown that they can do what Nagelsmann is asking of them here, because we also remember, I think, that there were big question marks there. There were some question marks as to how Thomas Müller would be looking in this. It was not abundantly clear that that would work for him. There were big question marks, I think, in the front line. I think the question marks were not as big with Sadio Mane, of course, but there were some question marks who's going to play next to him and whether that's going to be enough. And I think that has been answered very convincingly, and it has been looking so well that I really don't think you want to change that right now. As I said, yeah, you need a backup plan, but I think this is definitely the way to go.
Yeah, I think I have to agree 100%. I don't know if you saw the interview, but Nagelsmann after Friday's game was talking about how he thinks that a lot of the failures from last season were partly down to, you know, he took the blame as a coach. He said that the way that he learned to coach playing for or coaching for the smaller clubs was you kind of adapt to the other teams. And he realized, you know, at Bayern, you don't have to adapt to the other teams as much as just establish a system. And that's kind of what you play with those minor adaptation or adaptions going forward. And I think that that's kind of what we've seen here. I think he's established this 4-2-2-2 as his formation. And they may make minor adjustments. Maybe occasionally we see that back three, but I think that based on the starts of the season, which of course has been incredible, we'll probably be seeing more of this going forward. But again, Tim, you know, we're only two games in, but this squad, this team, it looks and it even feels just completely different. I think we were talking in the chat about, you know, this is probably the most excited that some of us have ever been as Bayern fans, up to the level of, you know, even Hansi Flick taking over. And I think it's even a little more exciting just given the changes that have taken place off the pitch with all the players that have come in and gone out, not only the tactical changes. And so I guess my question is, do you think that this summer, looking at the transfers brought in, the players kind of shipped out, do you think it kind of counts as a squad overhaul, more or less? Do you think that we've seen a drastic change in Bayern to their approach both on and off the pitch?
I think you just, if it's not the entire team, then it's certainly the attack, which I guess some could argue is like the most important part of the team. I think this is the first time that I can really remember Bayern not having a proper striker. For as long as I can remember, you've had big guys like Carsten Janke, like Roy Mackay, and then like Luca Toni, Klose, Gomez, Nils Petersen was there for 10 minutes. And then after that, with guys like Mandzukic and then the other guy, this is the first time where it's kind of that you don't really know what the attack is going to do. It's almost like this, you're forced to be unpredictable. And I think that's perfect. I think that's so great. And like just the speed of which players are moving, they're getting forward, they're changing position. It's so refreshing to see that, because this was probably one of my biggest criticisms against Flick was that you kind of knew what was coming. It's going to be get the ball, run forward, pass it to Lewandowski. Said his name, vowing not to. But it became very predictable and just kind of a bit dry. And then when you take him out and then you don't adjust to it, you get what happens in the PSG games where, yeah, you can create as many chances as you want, but ultimately if you don't have that same talent in the middle, the result is going to be different. Whereas now, the way that front two or four or six or like whatever it is, it's the fact that it is just so unpredictable is really fantastic to see. And it's great that that's kind of happening now. I've been kind of not bored of like buying a play of 4-2-3-1. I've wanted something that's different. And I think I didn't realize that what was needed was you have to take away the guy that scores the most goals in order for that change to happen. But I'd more than welcome it. I think it's really fantastic to see. And the fact that the squad is, in a sense, kind of built for that element of versatility. So if you're to look at like the average lineup in the game against Leipzig in the Super Cup, it's kind of it's like a 2-4-4 because Pavard and Davies were getting forward a lot. But the front four are basically level. You've got Musiala on the left, Mane, Gnabry in the middle, Müller on the right. You can put either of these, like any one of those guys, anywhere on that pitch, on that lineup, and you're fairly confident that you're going to get a good result. So it's really great to see that this squad has kind of been building towards that. And I guess like if you just want to look at what a 4-2-2 could look like, it's fairly obvious that we've got players that can do. Well, I think if you look at guys like Marcel Sabitzer, who I think we're probably going to talk about later, considering how well he's been doing, having that level of versatility means that he can play in that first two, like in that double pivot next to Kimmich, or in a pinch, he can play slightly further forward. It means that you don't have to rely on being like really, really quick or being like super technical. You just have to be competent. Because obviously if you're a winger, speed is going to be crucial. But if you move everything slightly more centrally, you can kind of get away with that. And it's so, so exciting to see. And I really like what this team is becoming. Yes, it is. It's two games into the season, but you know, 11 goals in two games against like decent teams. Okay, this Frankfurt isn't the same as the Frankfurt that won the Europa League. This Leipzig team is slightly different, of course. But it's promising just to see how, I guess, like how quickly things have been able to adapt, because it was only. So that guy went to Barcelona, although I think as of recording, he's not technically a Barcelona player yet, which is objectively hilarious. But he's only just gone out the door. The fact that this team has been so competent going forward so quickly is incredible. Mm-hmm. And I'm absolutely delighted.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's not even a straight, you know, you have to hedge certain things by saying, okay, this Frankfurt may not be the strongest Frankfurt. However, I do think it's a pretty strong Frankfurt squad. The first half, Bayern's first half against them on Friday, is one of the best halves of football I've ever seen any Bayern squad play ever. I mean, it's up there with, you know, the 8-2 against Barcelona, other big wins that Bayern have had in the Champions League. It was an all-around impressive performance with a dynamic, a fluid attack, a solid midfield. And yeah, I do want to talk about some, I guess, standout performers, and we've mentioned his name a few times, so I guess let's start with Marcel Sabitzer. Even though he hasn't been standout in terms of getting on the score sheet or doing anything, I guess, that just is like a wow factor that grabs your attention, I think he's been solid, above solid, in that pivot next to Joshua Kimmich. And so, Sebastian, I'm wondering, do you think the same? Do you think Sabitzer has been, you know, above the standard that we would expect alongside Joshua Kimmich? Do you think that he's, I guess, even good enough that, or maybe, you know, our search for a defensive mid for the summer is just completely shut? Maybe the door for Konrad Leimer is completely shut. We've got Sabitzer, and does he even make it difficult, you know, for Gravenberch and even Goretzka when he comes back to try and grab a spot in the starting 11?
Yeah, I think what Sabitzer and also Kimmich, I have to say, have shown us now is that they can actually do it, that they can get the discipline to make this work. And I think Sabitzer has also shown, which was never in doubt for Kimmich, of course, that he's up to the task, and that's good enough for me for now. Of course, when Goretzka comes back in, or whenever Gravenberch gets his shot and really impresses, this could, of course, change quickly, because Gravenberch, whenever he has been on, has also looked pretty good, I would say. He has looked more exciting offensively at times than Sabitzer, even, I would say. But this is not the headline here, because we don't expect those guys in the double pivot to score a lot of goals for us. That's what the other guys, the other four guys in front of them should do. And right now, I really, really trust them to do that. So this should really not be how we decide whether our double pivot is good enough or not, even though Kimmich also scored in that game. But that's really just not what we should concern ourselves with too much here. The headline really is that while the defense hasn't been perfect in those two games, we need to talk about that too. We got four goals against us in those last two games, although they were although those games were brilliant. We cannot forget that. But I never felt like the double pivot was the problem. And that is kind of new, because last year, even when some of those guys on the double pivot played really well, there were a lot of games where when we received too many goals, when the defense wasn't looking good, it was often due to the double pivot not looking great. Yeah, and that has changed for now. I think with those goals against us here, it was surprisingly Neuer sometimes. Sometimes it was Pavard, I think, and sometimes it was the center backs. So this is, I think, what we also need to turn to and what we need to talk about here. How we fix that, because four goals for the opposition in two games is, of course, a bit much. That's not where we want to go, because we will not always score five or six of our own. So, yeah, that's something we need to keep in mind. But, yeah, as I said, the headline is double pivot is working now. And I have no reason to believe it's going to become a problem again soon, because it has really been working. I think it's fixed.
Yeah, I think so as well. And it's not just something that just passes the eye test. And I really want to focus in on Sabitzer. Like you said, we knew Kimmich would step up. I think he's definitely stepped up. He's still also Kimmich, despite having a shaky preseason and even ending last season on the wrong note. But Sabitzer is someone who historically hasn't really been a defensive mid. And I think that playing alongside Kimmich, he's offered a little bit going forward, but I think he's really excelled playing in defense against both Frankfurt and against Leipzig. He led the team in tackles. He was 6 for 6 in terms of ground duels against Frankfurt. I think he was 6 for 9 against Leipzig. And so when you look at that and you say, okay, how come Leipzig are still scoring goals, or how come Frankfurt still got the goal? I think you're absolutely right. It has nothing to do with the midfield pivot letting the defense down, which wasn't exactly always the case last season. It was more of the case of defensive slip-ups. Manuel Neuer comes out and makes a horrendous decision like he did against Frankfurt, just basically gifting them a goal, Pavard making some mistakes. And so, personally, I have to say that I'm really impressed with Sabitzer. I think if he can continue to play the role that he's playing at the level he's playing, it's going to be hard to push him out of the starting lineup, because he's giving Joshua Kimmich that freedom to go forward, and he is shielding our back line a lot better than anything we saw last season. But when we're talking about standout players, right, standout players from these past two games, there's really only one name that I think comes up, and that is Jamal Musiala. I mean, definitely the man of the match against Frankfurt, arguably probably the best player in the Super Cup as well, scoring multiple goals, getting assists in the Super Cup. Phenomenal, right? That's really the only word that you can use to describe him right now. So, Tim, talking about Musiala, a couple questions. Number one, we've talked about this a little bit before. I know that I said on our last episode that I think that this is his season, the season that he becomes kind of an undroppable player. Do you agree? Do you think that this is, you know, where he steps up? He says, I'm on the scene, I'm here to stay. If you want to start, you have to prove that you're better than me, that he becomes undroppable. And do you think, you know, if you're Julian Nagelsmann, is he the first name on the team sheet for you at the moment?
He's incredible. I absolutely love this guy. I think I said it somewhere. I don't think I've ever loved a player anywhere near as much as I love this guy. He is so fun to watch. And it's not even a case of like, so I think I've said it before that like he grew up like very, very close to where, like literally five, no exaggeration, 5-10 minutes down the road from me. And so to see him go and play for Bayern, that's one thing. To see him play at the level that he's at is just... I'll happily admit, when I saw him score against Dortmund, I was in the stadium, I actually cried. This guy is so unbelievably talented. And it's just so great to see that he is just really taking every opportunity that is given to him and just running with it. Like, he's an unbelievable talent. I think it's probably safe to say he's like the best talent that's come from our academy since, I guess maybe since Müller or like, I don't know, that's kind of complicated because Müller's not, they're very different players. In terms of like what this guy can achieve, he's like the best that there's been in such a long time. The way that he played against Leipzig was exactly what you want from him. He was getting involved. He was more physical this year. They say he's clearly like been, you know, on the Goretzka program or whatever it is that we're calling that. So he's clearly doing something to improve his physicality, because I think that's probably the only thing that you can maybe mark against him, is that, okay, he's really skillful, he's quick, he's very agile, he's got great intelligence. Does he have the physicality to back it up? And I think what we saw against Leipzig, and also more specifically what we saw against Frankfurt, really does show that that's something that he's definitely working on. But I think his second goal was a situation that he probably might not have got. Like, he might not have got that second goal last season or in his first season, because I feel like he might have quite easily got bullied off the ball. But to see him fight, to see him at times like get angry and like really get involved, it was excellent. It's absolutely perfect. I don't like the idea of saying this person, it should be guaranteed a spot every single week. I've probably said it before, but I don't really like that idea. I do think it should work on a who's done the best, and then you pick the best squad from that, because otherwise you get into that position where you've got one guy that's undroppable regardless of form. So in that sense, I'd be reluctant to say, yeah, Musiala should be starting every single game. I think it should be, he should start every game if he is good enough. But quite frankly, I think that's not going to be a problem, because I do think he is clearly and comfortably one of the best players that Bayern have got in their squad. And that's often going to be caveated with, yeah, he's really great for a 19-year-old. He's great generally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is one of the most exciting players that I've seen in years. He's just got such a... He's got this unique ability to hold onto the ball. He can be surrounded by like seven other players in the penalty area, and he will make something from it. And I cannot wait to see what happens this season. And I do think that this will be the season where people will start to look at him as, well, I think from like a marketing perspective, I think people in England are going to look at him to say, oh man, this is really frustrating. I can't believe that we could have had this guy. It's a great thing that he's at Bayern, and I would love to see this season after, and then presumably 10 to 15 seasons after that. Yeah, I like him. Let's just sum it up by saying I think he's pretty good.
So I think one thing we should also look at here is, I think Musiala is probably the one who profits the most from Lewandowski being gone. Kind of interesting, because he really shines when things are not that predictable. He's really good for these special things. He has a very good eye for the other players. And I think he can do much more if the opposition doesn't already kind of know what's going to happen. It's interesting because I think you would think that the same would kind of be true for Thomas Müller, but Thomas Müller kind of turned this whole thing around and somehow managed to be maybe the best he has been in a system you would before that, like a number of years ago, not have suspected that would suit him. But yeah, I think for Musiala, it is still true. Maybe he's also good enough and he would have found a way to make that work to his advantage too with Lewandowski. But I think yeah, his natural way of playing just is much better suited to not have that guy in the middle there who expects to get all the crosses and get all the passes and so on.
And if I could add to that, I don't even think it's just that he's benefiting most from Lewandowski being on it. I think Musiala, and I think you've brought this up before too, Sebastian, I think he benefits most from this like new system, this new formation. The 4-2-2 is exactly where you want Jamal Musiala playing, because you don't force him out to the wing, but he still has the freedom to take the ball out wide and work a one-on-one if he wants. He can drop back into midfield, but he's also got the freedom to go forward to play almost like a striker at times, which personally I think that his best quality right now, and I think he showed it over the past couple games, is his ability to get the ball and to make a goal happen for himself. His finishing is phenomenal. He has this strange ability that we were talking about in the chat during the game on Friday to be able to fire a shot like out of nowhere, have this unpredictable shot come out of nowhere. And his ability on the ball in the box is phenomenal. You want him, I think, as far forward as possible. And so I think that this formation really, really stands out. It works well for him. We haven't seen a lot of the new guys yet, but we have seen Sadio Mane play a lot, both against Leipzig and against Frankfurt. And he did score in both games, but I have to ask, and I'll come back to you, Sebastian, you know, how has Mane looked in these first two games? Is he really kind of living up to that marquee signing that we all, you know, labeled him as?
Yeah, I would say so. Interestingly, I was kind of surprised that maybe not everybody seemed to agree on that, really. So some people kind of seem to think he didn't do all that well. Interestingly, I think also, I don't know which source it was, but some outlet gave him rather bad grade for at least one of those games. But I think that's completely weird, and I really don't get it. He could have scored more than the goals than what he got there. That with that I would agree. Yeah, but yeah, that's just not enough just to say he wasn't great, really. I think he was really impressive, and also, of course, you need to consider that he's probably the guy that the defense is going to look out for the most.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be the guy everybody's focusing on, and he's going to be considered the first kind of threat there. And they will try to neutralize him first, I suppose. And considering that, he has been really great. I think he has been putting in a lot of work. And in terms of that front line, I think if I would have to choose, I would say I liked him better than Gnabry, although both played really well. I think it's kind of ridiculous if we're going to come here and say, oh, well, with these 11 goals there and most of them from those four guys up front, well, it hasn't been so great. I think that's kind of ridiculous. They have been playing really well. That, of course, doesn't mean that it's going to be as easy as it has been in those two games. But, well, yeah, we're going to have to see who's going to show signs that something is not working perfectly. Of course, there are going to be challenges, but I think it's kind of weird to pretend now that one of them or two haven't played really great, because they have.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Moving on to another player, Tim, it kind of works out that we get to come to you for this one. Benjamin Pavard has really been at least solid in both games. I know he had some defensive slip-ups, I don't know, against RB Leipzig, but he has actually scored now in two games. Nagelsmann seems to think that he's still the best option at right back for the moment. Do you think that this is just an anomaly, that Pavard will go back to his old ways before long? Or do you think maybe there's an aspect of Mazraoui has come in, so Pavard is stepping up his game? You know, Mazraoui's in, De Ligt is in as well. Do you think Pavard is kind of playing with a chip on his shoulder, almost playing with something to prove now that he's decided to stay at Bayern?
Yeah, I think there's probably an element of that. I've never hidden my feelings for Benjamin Pavard. I think he's fine, but I've never really liked that, like, that whole argument of like, oh, if you don't really get what he does, like, you just don't get football. Personally, I want somebody doing something different at right back. I want a guy that is going to really bomb forward and then come back. I want like a right-footed Alphonso Davies primarily. Well, ideally, I'd like Philip Lahm, but we can't have everything. I think the way that Pavard's been playing, it would be ridiculous for me to say like, nah, not good enough, because he's contributing to a factor which means if there is any defensive slip-up, it's not as much of a problem. Not to say that I want all of the defenders to score in every single game. But to be fair, I would love that. That would be great. But it means that if he can contribute that, like in that way, then it means that that sort of defensive, I guess, like weakness potentially might not be the right word. It means that's kind of like alleviated slightly. I think the way that he's been playing kind of reminds me a little bit like Luis Gustavo when Javi Martinez was signed by Bayern. Gustavo was another guy that I never really connected to. I don't quite know why. I think I wanted something that was like slightly bigger, slightly more extravagant. And then Javi Martinez came in and he was that guy. But I think it was Martinez's debut, maybe against Wolfsburg, I think. I can't remember. But it was like very early on in that 2012-13 season, which I now realise is 10 years ago. That's horrific. But Gustavo scored this really, really good goal because he started and Martinez came off the bench later on. But Gustavo scored this great goal. I remember my dad saying something like, well, yeah, obviously now he's going to start doing that. And I think it's kind of a similar thing that's happening here. Like, I don't think it's like ridiculous to say that Pavard would have probably been one of the first names that could have gone out the window. So obviously Lucas Hernandez, they're not going to sell him anytime soon because it was like such a sizable investment. And also he's like very reliable. Upamecano only joined last season. If there was to be any defender that would go, and obviously Nianzou's kind of got that upside of, okay, he could potentially go into something more. Pavard's pretty much as good as he could get. So there's every chance that you're not really going to get anything greater than what you've already had from him. So to see him then kind of score in every game, and then like all of these videos of him doing like these fantastic bicycle kicks in training, just give him the number 9 shirt, maybe. That would kind of solve all of my problems. You take him away from the right back position, you've got like a number 9, and then that's kind of that bit sorted. But no, like, I think like as a whole, I like what he's, I like the fact that he's kind of taking this sense of competition, because like now we have a competent right back. Well, I guess it would be dishonest and disingenuous for me to say we now have two competent right backs. This is a good opportunity for him to say, no, this is my role. Mazraoui has to step up. I think it's going to be interesting to see if he can keep it up. Obviously he's not going to be expected to score in every single game, but I think he needs to, for me personally, he needs to keep up this sort of level. And if he does it, great. Like I've come around on players that I've not really liked before. I can't remember his name. I think he plays in Spain now, or again, not legally playing in Spain yet. But like I've changed my opinions on players before, and there's every possibility that this is the season where that happens. And if he can keep putting in performances like he has done the last two games, then yeah, I'd say that's very realistic.
This isn't in the outline, Sebastian, but since we're talking about defense, I kind of want to go this direction. You were not necessarily criticizing, but talking earlier about how it was the back line that let Bayern down against Leipzig, and it wasn't anything that had to do with the midfield pairing. We haven't really seen much of Matthijs de Ligt in a Bayern jersey yet. It's been Deo Upamecano and then Lucas Hernandez being the main pairing at center back. And so my question is, do you think that maybe next weekend or the weekend after, it's already time to start getting Matthijs de Ligt really involved in this defense? And then my follow-up question would be, who do you take out? Who do you think has maybe disappointed more between Upamecano and Hernandez in the first two games?
Yeah, I think this is probably the way to go. I think I would give De Ligt his shot there. You could also, if you're like if you think Pavard is the solution there, go ahead and give him a shot too. I really don't mind that, but I think you should really give those guys their chances, and I don't think that both of those guys in the back line have shown enough for me. If I would have to pick, I think I would probably leave Hernandez in, also because I think that's the more natural pairing, Hernandez on the left, De Ligt on the right. I think that's kind of more natural. The same is true with Pavard, of course. If you have Hernandez on the left, Pavard on the right, I'm fine with that too. But I would say, yeah, let's see if any of those guys can do it better than what the two back there have been doing, because, man, people have emphasized that, right? This defensive line, basically this back line, especially the center backs, have been so incredibly expensive now. So they really need to step up, right? There are no excuses now anymore. They have been very expensive. They are very talented guys. And now I think they can really not point towards the double pivot anymore. They need to step up now and show that they can do better. Same is true, of course, for Manuel Neuer. He needs to get his normal form back together too, of course. But yeah, even if Neuer plays well, these guys need to show that they can do better. And I think you should mix it up. Like, this time you take out one, and next time you maybe take out the other, until you land with something that gives you kind of sufficient confidence that this is going to work now. It's really, really frustrating, because the center back has for kind of a long time now been the only position where there's just very little positive you can mm-hmm. say, really, right? I mean, with the double pivot, yes, there have been problems. But, man, Goretzka and Kimmich have also been really, really good at times, right? With the fullbacks, okay, the right side has been concerning, but even Pavard has had quite good games sometimes, and Davies has had a lot of very good games. But with the center backs, man, this is really, really kind of, well, atrocious, you would have to say, right? Mm-hmm. This has been such a streak of bad performances, and yeah, if one guy cannot do it, give me the other guy. And I think De Ligt should be your first choice there, because you know that he can do better, and I think, yeah, he's the solution in terms of leadership, as we have been talking about before.
Yeah, so as we wrap things up, Tim, I'm going to open up that question just a little bit further. We've seen the same starting 11 used in both games with Neuer in goal. The French back line plus Alphonso Davies, Sabitzer, Kimmich, Musiala, Müller, and then Mané and Gnabry up front. Heading into next weekend's game, are there any specific changes that you think that you would make if you were Nagelsmann? I know you said it earlier, you don't like just having someone who's definitely in the starting 11. It should be based on merit. So do you think that, based on, you know, obviously we're not training, but what you've seen, are there any changes that you would make specifically?
I'd like to see what Sané can do from the start. I think I really like the fact that he got a goal. And like, yeah, okay, it's like it's at the end of a game and you've basically already won it. I think there was quite a good finish that he made against Leipzig. I think it was like very clever and very important for him. I would like to see what he can do.
I was going to say a great assist against Frankfurt as well.
Yeah, like a really perfectly weighted pass. I think he kind of suffers from this appearance issue where it just looks like he doesn't really care. I think like Mesut Özil was somebody that was kind of in a similar situation. I've heard that Kai Havertz suffers from the same thing as well, where just by how they look, it just seems like they don't really care, when in fact, like there's clearly a talent there, and there's somebody there that can do a very, very good job for Bayern. I'd love to see what he can do from the start, or even like being brought on like much earlier. Obviously, it's difficult when somebody like Musiala is clearly so good. I think just a separate issue. I don't think that Müller was particularly good against Frankfurt, yet still managed to get 3 assists. I think like, well, he obviously could have got that one goal early on. I don't think that he was great, but I think he's still like a very effective player. So I don't know. maybe this is the time where we start to think, okay, let's see what we can do without Müller. And maybe you can put like Gnabry on the right, potentially put Sané up top along with Mane or whatever. I don't know. I think Müller's just the sort of guy where even if he has like a bad day at the office, he's still going to produce something half decent. And also, I think that's a testament to just how good that attack is, that you can have a bad day and still walk away with 3 assists. I think that's pretty cool. That's the player that I'd like to see. Obviously, I'd like to see De Ligt from the start as well. I do think that he's a player that I still really struggle to comprehend the fact that he's at Bayern. I know that there are like bigger names in football, but it's the fact that it's him, and it was kind of all wrapped up like very quickly. It's just, I don't know. I'm struggling to believe that he's actually a Bayern player. It just doesn't really. It's great. I will definitely never complain about it. I think it's wonderful that he's there. and also on top of that, I'd like to see Mazraoui from the start as well. I think you can kind of take your time with somebody like Gravenberch, and the way that Kimmich and Sabitzer have been playing recently, I can't really see much call for changing that. But given that the time that we have seen Gravenberch play, he has looked good. So I wouldn't be too disappointed if Sabitzer was to sit out, or even like if Kimmich was to sit out, because this was probably his best game in a while. I think he did very well against Frankfurt. So he got a really good goal. But I don't think that he did very well in preseason. Like, he just looked a bit lost at times. Which again, like, is another great testament to Sabitzer, is the fact that he kind of held it down while his like partner in this double pivot was just not really quite with it. So maybe that's an opportunity for Gravenberch to say, yeah, even like you can take out this main guy and I'll step up. I'd like to see the new guys. I'd like to see Mazraoui from the start. And I'd like to see Sané get some more playing time and still get involved in like goal involvements, mm-hmm. or just like have like a generally very good game.
You know, speaking of Thomas Müller, which I do think it was only 2 assists against Frankfurt, but maybe I guess 3 total between the games at least, but it is very Thomas Müller for us to start having the conversation of, okay, maybe this is when we finally bring him out only for him to go and lead the team in assists. Already, and so I say all that to say I think it's very difficult to justify taking him out of the squad, also because of the leadership that I think he brings going forward. It's going to be really tough to just have the same cohesion without him. But Sebastian Tim says Mazraoui at right back. I assume that you also agree with that change. Anything else that you would add to starting 11 changes?
No, not really. I mean, of course, we talked about De Ligt. I would put De Ligt in there. I would give Mazraoui his start. But other than that, I think I would keep it conservative for this game at least, just to keep it going. But of course, I would be in favor of rotation rather soon, because you cannot keep all these other very talented guys on the bench for the whole time. But I think for now, I would keep it like that, other than those 2 changes.
Well, Bayern continue their season on Sunday with a game against Wolfsburg, and from there, you know, we're right in the thick of it. They keep on moving, and hopefully they're able to keep up this form. But that's all the time that we have for today. If you're a regular fan of the podcast, or if you've enjoyed listening today and you haven't done this already, please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review. We greatly appreciate that. If you want to get in touch with us, there are a couple ways that you can do that. You can email us at superbayernpod@gmail.com. Or follow us over on Twitter @SuperBayernPod and keep up to date with us there. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts, we're probably going to be there. As always, thank you for listening. Go out and tell your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.